If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I know some of you are saying we already went through it. No, we did not. We didn't get through all of it, but we are going to finish it today. Actually, today and on Father's Day, so be ready for that. I always struggle with Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas. One, because I feel like sometimes it's just regurgitating the same sermon over and over again. But another friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, enlightened me to one of his struggles with Mother's Day sermons. And he told me that it is hard for him to preach to a woman who changed his diaper and knows more dirt on him than Jesus. I see you back there. But I do want to bring honor to mothers because that is what has been commanded of us. When Ann Jarvis founded this day in 1904, her intent was to follow God's command to honor mothers and others' mothers. After it was created years later, she fought. I did not know this till a couple of weeks ago. She fought hard against the commercialization of this day. You see, I always thought this day was invented by Hallmark. Come to find out, it was hijacked by Hallmark. This day was intended to honor the scripture that we're actually going to read today. After she was sitting in one of her mother's classes, she heard her mother pray a prayer that there would be a founding or a start of mothers being honored all over the world just as God had commanded them to. She also went on to later to say, after fighting the commercialization, that this day has become something that I never intended to be. It's a day to be obedient to God and honoring mothers that carried us into this world. It's with that statement there that I realized that today I wasn't going to preach to mothers. I realized today that I was going to preach to children. And no, I'm not talking about all the men below the age of 40. I'm talking about every single one of you. Because every single one of you in this room have this in common. You all had a mother. And if you didn't, I want to have a talk with you after church. Because I want to know how you got here, how you come into existence. But we have all had a mother. And a couple of months ago, as we were closing out the sermon series through Ephesians, I told you that there was a section that we were going to come back to. And this is that section. You remember how in Ephesians 5, he started doing this introduction of how we are supposed to have, what our relationships are supposed to look like with different individuals. Our relationships with other Christians, our relationships with people in the world, our relationships with our bosses, our relationships with our husbands, our relationships with our wives. And in chapter 6, we find him put a little nugget in there that is directed at every single one of us. For some reason, we think that once we become 21 and we are no longer under the regime of our parents, as some of us would consider it, that this verse does not apply to us. But the reality is this. This verse applies to every single one of you. If your mother is present or if your mother is with the Lord, this verse applies to you. If your mother is distant from you, or if you have a close relationship with your mother, this verse applies to you. If there's been friction between you and your mother, this verse applies to you. Because this is a direct command from God. And listen. Listen what God's word says about this through the words of Paul. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How many of you are in trouble right there? Every single one of us. Every single one of us are in trouble. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live a long life on earth. Think about that. This is the only commandment that contains a promise with it. If we honor our father and mother, we will live a long life. I want to get into that a little bit later. But it will be well with us. Family friction is the cause of most stress in our life. Let's just be real. Family stress causes more stress, friction in our life than any other relationship that we have. And some of that stress comes from division between parents and their children. And what saddens me more than ever is that I'm seeing this occurring more and more daily. It bothers me, some of the people that I've got to minister to over the last couple of years, about people whose children no longer come and see them. Children who no longer come and speak to them. Children who no longer even give them a call to let them even know, as one woman said, I just want a call to let me know that he's alive. Why is this? Why has it got this way? One of the things I believe that it's got this way is because we have forgot this verse. This is God's commandment to his children, to the people that he has called his own, for us to honor our father and our mother. And you know, one of the questions that I've been asked is, and especially in youth ministry, what exactly, Scotty, does it mean to honor your father and mother? Or in today's sense, what does it mean to honor your mother? Well, the Bible gives us numerous examples of what it means to honor your mother. But today, and I am going to be brief, I want to give you three examples of what it means from God's word to honor your mother. The first example I want to give you comes from Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Oops, turned to the wrong one. Proverbs 1, verse 8 through 9 says, hear my son, your father's instructions. But listen what else it says. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths on your head and ornaments about your neck. Proverbs was a book written by Solomon. They are, you know, there's a lot of people who say, well, there's some excerpts from other people, and that may be the fact, but mainly this is a book from Solomon. And Solomon writ this book actually to his son. At the very beginning of this book, we see that he wrote this book so that his son would have wisdom. And in the first 8 sentences of that, he tells his son that one of the things that you need to do is you need to follow your mother's teachings. I want to ask you this. What all has your mother taught you? My mom's taught me a lot of things. My mom has taught me so many things, it's not even funny. When I was a little kid, I used to love to be in the kitchen with her and cooking. I love to cook. Jennifer loves that I love to cook too. But I absolutely love to cook. So mom taught me how to break an egg properly without getting shell in it. That's a pet peeve of mine right now. She tried to teach me how to make cornbread, but she has this problem with making cornbread. She'll pour a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of this, and she makes this perfect cake of cornbread. I ask her what's the mixes on it. She says, I have no idea. You just pour this, this, this. When you get this consistency, it's good. You know how many times I've tried it? 1,000. You know how many times I've failed? 1,000. But one day we were in the kitchen and she had this old-fashioned pressure cooker. How many of y'all remember the old, not the new Instapots? Those are nice. But the old-fashioned pressure cooker that had the little steel bobble on it, and you'd get it up to heat and you'd see that bobble sit there and start shaking and shaking and shaking, and that shaking lets you know that everything was going good. But when that shaking stopped, you knew that something was about to happen. And my mom taught me real quick not only how to cook, but she also taught me to run when emergency was coming, because I will never forget the day that we're in the kitchen and that bobble stops and she yells, Scotty, run, it's going to blow up! It didn't blow up, by the way. But I will never forget that day. So she taught me to cook. She taught me to run. Not only that, she taught me to drive. Now, listen, okay? I am a good driver, and I'm not just saying that. Because not only did she teach me to drive, she taught my brother to drive, and she brought me along with him. That was the scariest thing I've ever rode in my life. I've been on rides at Six Flags. I've been to Magic Mountain. I've been to all these places. I've ridden all these rides, but nothing, not one of them compared to riding with my brother, learning to drive. I remember watching Mom yank the wheel this way, yank the wheel that way. I remember her stomping so hard trying to find a brake in the passenger seat, but it wasn't there. And it was during that time that my mom taught me to pray. She didn't know she did, but she taught me to pray because I really thought that that was going to be my last days. A lot of who we are as individuals comes from the things that our moms taught us. Well, some learn to cook, some learn to sew, some learn to put out fires in the family, some learn to do a lot of things. But one of the greatest things that my mom ever taught me, and I know some of your moms taught you the same thing, she taught me without even saying a word. Because my mom taught me, and I'm sure yours taught you the same thing if you think about it in this context, she taught me not to quit. I never realized how difficult it was for her growing up until I got my own two boys. And unfortunately, one of them is a lot like me. A lot like me. He likes to push buttons. He likes to test things. He likes to see how far it can go. He likes to look back at me after I've given him some correction and say, "That didn't hurt." But I see my mom go through a lot, and you saw your mom go through a lot as well. You saw the struggles of what it was like trying to keep the house clean. That's a disaster. That's a disaster for us. You saw the struggle of what it was like to have a hot meal on the table after a long day's work. Again, struggle for us. You saw what it was like for her to be up late at night doing laundry, scraping the red clay out of your baseball uniform just so you could go to the ball game the next day with clean white pants. Why in the heck did they give us white pants? You saw your mom do all of this. And while it may not have registered then, later on in life it registers now. What she was teaching you then is something we all need to know now. Quitting is not an option. My mom instilled in me such a work ethic. Sometimes I hate her for it, but no, I don't hate her, but I don't like her. But she's instilled in me a work ethic to where even when the days get hard, and I'm not just talking about at work, guys, I'm talking about as a husband. She taught me not to quit. As a dad, she taught me not to quit. As a pastor, she taught me not to quit. As a human being, because let's get real, we all get to those points. She taught me not to quit. And one of the ways that we honor our mothers on a day like today is we remember the things that she taught us. We remember the things that she instilled in us because she wanted our best. And we honor her by continuing to follow those. Remember what it says? Honor your father and mother. Children, listen to me. Being obedient to God is also being obedient to your mother, even if you don't like what she has to tell you. The next way we honor our mother is we honor her legacy. I can't begin to count the number of times that I've heard this phrase. Mom is the glue that has held our family together. And I know for many of you that's been the same case for you. Your mom has been the glue that has kept everything together. When you and your brother or you and your sister were in an argument, who was the one who tried to come and put out the fire? Mom. when you were at your wit's end with what was going on at school and you were just ready to give up, who was the one who come in to help you in those times? Mom. When you were tired of whatever it was you had committed to and you were ready to quit, who was the one who come and challenged you on? Mom. Moms have always been the glue that holds the family together. And that bothers me because mom is the one who rallies everyone together. And I see this persistently and especially in women of faith. And I wondered to myself one day, why is it that women are always considered more of the glue of the family than the men? And I'll be honest with you, this is not from a statistic, this is from observation. But it's because women are more willing to practice their faith than men are. You see, faith is a thing of legacy. Faith is something that is instilled in us. While it can't be passed down, while it can't be transferred, faith is something that can be passed down from generation to generation. And I mean, if you were to take account, a census today, of the number of women versus men in church, you would find that it's somewhere between 70% women and 30% men. Why? Because women are more willing to practice their faith. But why? Because women desire the unity with God, and they desire that same unity in their family. Think about it for a minute. Who's the one who always puts together the family dinners? It's mom. Who's the one who orchestrates all the holiday meals? It's mom. Who's the one who reminds the family of any baseball graduation or wedding event that comes about? It's mom. Mom is always the one that is trying to pull us together. But who is also more likely to demonstrate their faith to their children? Man, this is a challenge to you. Because it's mom. It's mom. You say, Scotty, I need proof. Let me show you biblical proof. When Paul is writing the letter to Timothy, he is reminding him or encouraging him because of all the challenges that is going to be facing him as a young pastor. He knew that Timothy was going to face some hard times. And one of the things that he wants to remind Timothy of is simply this. In verse 5 he says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And I am sure that it will also dwell in you." Think about that for a minute. He doesn't say, "Timothy, your dad was the one who helped instill this faith in you." Who did he give credit to? Grandmother and mother. You know why? Because I have a feeling that Timothy's grandmother and mother wanted the same unity with her children and God that your mother wants with you and God. That is part of the legacy that mothers do. They bring things together. They hold things together. And God bless them. Thank God for them. Because without them, think about how disarray our families would be. Our mothers are the glue that hold our families together. And one of the ways that we can honor them, and I'm not just talking to the men here and the women here, I'm talking to all of us as children. Listen, the one way that we can do this legacy is continue to be that glue that holds our families together. Do you know who wants to separate your family more than anybody? Satan. Do you want him to win? No. Honor your mother by carrying on the legacy that she instilled in you to bring unity and faith to your family. The last way that we can honor our mothers on a day just like today is that we honor her love. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it a million times. There is nothing closer to the love of God than the love of a mother. Amen? A mother's love is absolutely unconditional. And as men, we don't understand this Man, let's just be real. We don't understand this because we put conditions on our love, whether we want to or not. We love our kids a little bit more when they're obedient than when they're disobedient. Men, shake your head. I see some of you shaking your head. That's truth. But a mother loves her children regardless of the shape or condition that they may be in. And she loves them equally and all the same. Men, we're not favoritist, but let's be honest. We like some of our kids more than the others. Yes. But a mother will never show that ever. But the other day I was reading in Isaiah, and I come across something else to compare a mother's love to, and I never even thought about it. Yes, a mother's love is the closest thing that we will ever experience to the love of God here on this earth. But there is a scripture that tells us that the love of a mother is the closest thing to heaven that we will experience this side of eternity. Let me show you where it's at in Isaiah chapter 66. First, let me give you a preface. In Isaiah 66, Isaiah is foretelling of this time to where God is going to make everything right. And when he makes everything right, he is going to take away all the discomfort. He is going to take away all the pain. He is going to take away all these things that trouble us in our life. And in this analogy, he keeps referring to the word Jerusalem. We find out later on in Revelation that he's actually referring to a new Jerusalem that will come one day, what we consider to be heaven. But listen to what he says about this new Jerusalem. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like a flowing stream. Now listen to this. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip, bounced on her knee, as one whom his mother comforts. So will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Further proof that the love that your mother has for you and your brother and your sister and your children and their children goes far beyond what most of us can understand. For some of you who are mothers, you understand this. Your love for these children runs so deep that you wouldn't spare anything for them. You wouldn't withhold a single thing for one of these kids. And I want to put that into preface with this. God loved you so much that he did not even spare his own son for you. He was willing to sacrifice it all so that through that sacrifice, you could have eternal life with him forever. How do you honor your mother's love this morning? The first way is by surrendering to him. Your mother was God's gift to you. She was the one who carried you in her womb for 10 months. She was the one that you were sucking all the energy from when you were inside of her. She was the one who was nurturing you when you first come into this world. She is the one who was clothing you and taking care of you and bathing you and changing your diaper. Yeah, your dad helped. I know he did. But she was the one who primarily took care of you during those much needed times. Later on in life, she's the one who knew something was wrong with you when you wouldn't tell anybody a soul. She's the one who called you just to make sure that everything's okay. She's the one who sacrificed not only her time, but also her life to give you everything that you have. And she's the one who did it all, following God's command to be fruitful and multiply. Brothers and sisters, is there any more reason needed to honor mom, the gift that God gave us? So what does that look like for us? For some of you today, you may need to make an unexpected drive. For some of you today, you may need to make an unexpected call. For some of you today, you may need to swallow your pride and admit that you're not helping this glue any. For some of you today, you may not be able to go to her. For some of you, this is your first Mother's Day without them. My heart grieves for you. But it's not too late to honor our God by honoring the mothers that He gave us. How do you need to honor your mom today? Father, I am so thankful for the mom that you gave me. And for all the things that she taught me, that she instilled in me, and for the love that she unconditionally has always given to me. Father, you did this as a gift to me. Not only for my nurturing, but also as an example for me to love others in the same lights that you love us. Father, thank you for all of our mothers. Whether they be spiritual mothers, birth mothers, adopted mothers, whatever it may be. Thank you for the gift that you've given us in these women. And Father, our desire this morning is that we praise you by honoring our mothers just as you've told us. We need your help, Lord. Because for some of us, that means getting over ourselves. For some of us, that means swallowing pride. For some of us, that means being intentional. But for some this morning, it possibly could mean surrendering their life to you. The only way we can truly honor our mother this morning, Lord, is if we do it through the grace that you've given us. So help us, Lord, however it may be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.